SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it is the good, the bad, and the dumb for a Friday as we close out the week. And we always want to feel good going into the weekend. So what's the good of the day?
You know what the good of the day is? It's maybe a little nostalgic for you and I.
Sure.
Because I didn't really know that this was a thing. But a two-man driver crew and a spotter have just broken the Cannonball Run record.
I saw this 27 hours, right?
27 hours from coast to coast. I didn't really know this was a real thing.
I thought it was a movie with all those stars that were in it, but I didn't think people actually did this.
Yeah, I guess they
do. You have to go like 200 miles an hour.
Well, Tony, actually all you need to do is average. Let's see. What were their average speed? They were in a modified Mercedes-Benz sedan.
That helps.
Yep, and they... I just had it. They averaged, oh, here it is. They averaged their average speed was 103 miles per hour and hit a top speed of 193 miles per hour at an undisclosed location.
I was just going to ask you, where did they do 198 miles an hour?
They followed the so-called northern route along I-80, I-76, I-70, and then I-15.
How do you account? You can't account for traffic. You can't account for anything. You're just taking a big gamble that in the next 20 plus hours, everything's going to go smooth.
I'm assuming there was a lot of night driving. Well, I mean, obviously there was, but maybe they started off at night and then, you know, hit the daytime when you're in the open plains of America.
Okay, there's two things here. There's the one part of me that goes, wow, well done. There's the other part that goes, how many lives did they put at risk here with weaving in and out of traffic at 100 plus miles an hour average? I mean, forget doing that occasionally. I mean, they had to keep a consistent speed of over 100 miles an hour for 27 hours. That's I mean, if you're cruising at 75 and here comes Cannonball Run behind you in the Mercedes going 30 miles an hour faster than you, that could cause some problems.
Not only that, that's the average.
Yeah.
What if you're doing 75 and then, you know, 130 miles faster than comes a car.
Like, they'll never convince me that they did 198 miles an hour where nobody was on the road, right? There's got to be,
Maybe.
Without going through the Texas desert.
Well, they took, I don't know if you've ever driven I-80 or I-70. When you get to Iowa, it's just flat, straight land.
Yeah, but there better not be anybody in front of you or a tractor trailer blocking two lanes, or you're not going to be able to slow down in time.
I'll read you this paragraph.
I'm taking all the fun out of this awesome achievement. I'm going to stop right now.
Okay. They had an array of electronic law enforcement
cameras. Oh, yeah, that was my next question. So how did they avoid detection and all that other stuff?
They had radar detectors, laser jammers, police scanner, etc. That included a thermal imaging camera mounted to a gimbal on the roof that was used to look for police cars parked on the side of the road.
Oh, that's great.
Waze. We all have the Waze app.
All right, so they knew traffic. So I'll give them that. Okay.
Waze and an underground speed trap app provided crowdsourced intelligence, while 18 scout vehicles rendezvoused with them at points along the way to drive up ahead and check for speed traps, traffic, and other obstacles.
You mean to tell me they had 18 other vehicles involved in this unbelievable event? Like, that is a coordination. That's great. So they had a whole bunch of people on top of this. So there was a whole, I don't know, business of getting to L.A. in 20-something hours.
But obviously, I mean, obviously, you know, these 18 cars, you had to, like, coordinate and say, okay, we're going to go by the city of Denver. So you'd have a car in Denver kind of mapping out the entire route for them.
Right.
Because if they took I-70, I-70 goes right through Denver. How do you maintain, like, 100 miles per hour going through the Rockies?
I know. That's nuts.
Maybe that's where it dropped down a little bit.
So I got an interesting question here. Do you remember Hands Across America in the 80s? Where we all linked hands from, like, California to Maine or Miami, wherever it was.
I didn't do it, but I remember.
But I remember that, right?
Did they actually do that, by the way?
I think there were some gaps in the middle. I think they didn't make it all the way through, but it was close. There were some gaps at various locations. If you had a way, and this would be impossible, but if you had a way of saying, look, it is all the roads are going to be clear from New York where when this started to L.A. Okay, all the roads will be clear. There's no traffic. In fact, nobody is going to be on the roads. We'll all be rooting for you. Go as fast as you want. Endurance, car, all of that. How long do you think it would take to go from New York to L.A. with no traffic, no worry about cops, fuel up as quickly as you can, all of that? Eat on the run, that kind of thing.
27 hours, 25 minutes.
Because I'm thinking that might be around where it is, man.
Yeah. I mean, they had a modified tank as well. They had an extra gas tank.
Yeah, I was just going to say they probably had that, right? God, that's great. Okay, you know what's surprising about this story is what you just said earlier. I thought it was just a movie. I didn't know people tried to do this in real life.
I mean, because they're saying they shattered the record.
Yeah, totally.
And the record, the previous record was like 28 hours or something. I'm like, is that really shattering?
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, I guess it is that if you think of it like in sprinting terms. You know, when Usain Bolt ran for like 9.2 or something like that, or something ridiculous, that shattered the previous record of 9.4.
That's awesome. All right, so now what's the bad of the day, if that's the good?
The bad of the day, it's bad, but it's kind of, there's a good behind it.
Okay?
The good part of this is that, it's a free basketball game.
Yep.
The bad part is that number 18 Baylor men's basketball team is making their game tomorrow free against number 12 Arizona.
What? For what reason are they doing this?
Tip-off for this game is at 11 a.m.
Oh, so it's early.
Yes.
So...
And it's going head-to-head against the Big 12 championship.
Good for them! Oh, well done!
So, I mean, it's
good. Good for them! I didn't make the correlation, but you're right.
It's good for them to make the game. But it's bad. You can't reschedule, and apparently they can't because immediately following this men's basketball game... They have to clear the gym out, so they can't even show the jump. They can't even show the game on the jumbotron.
Oh, that's okay.
They have to clear the gym out for NCAA volleyball tournament practice.
Yeah, they ain't getting anybody there.
Practice.
Yeah, they ain't getting anybody there. Good luck. Good luck. Good luck with your fans. I don't know. With modern technology today, with phones, if you've got good Wi-Fi in the stadium, the arena, maybe people will watch it on their phones while they're rooting for you for basketball, but. Yeah, I mean, if you're a diehard Baylor fan, that football game is a big deal.
That's a big deal. But that's the game to watch.
Yeah, and
but it's number 18 taking on number 12.
Yeah, this is a good game. This was a game when the schedule came out. You said, all right, I'm going to go see that. I'm going to go see Arizona play Baylor. That's a good game. Probably going to the Big 12 championship game. We might be in that, but I don't know. We'll see.
Probably not.
Probably not. I don't know.
All the experts are predicting Oklahoma, Texas.
If you gave me free concessions, I'd might go. Like if it was like all you can eat popcorn and nachos.
Maybe that's the next step. They got to step that part up.
I might be in. I might be in on that.
Yeah, but it's
free ticket and free concessions.
Yep. So if you're in the Baylor area, you guys can go to, or if you're in Waco, Texas,
yeah,
you can go to a free men's basketball game tomorrow.
Real quick, when I was in minor league basketball, we were in St. Petersburg, Florida, and we had our home opener, the opening game of the season. It was a big, big deal. We were all excited for it. We had good sponsors. We were doing pretty good, getting tickets, people excited. Whoops, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers made the playoffs, and it happened to be at the exact same time we were tipping off. And we didn't know what to do. We just went, you know what, just play the game in front of family and friends and people who don't care about the Bucs. Just an unbelievable schedule quirk that just happened that you laugh about now, but you panic at the time going, oh no, this is all for naught. But good for them to figure out.
There's a part of me, I'm hoping,
this is good for everybody.
I am hoping that there is some part of it is televised because I would love to see at 11 a.m. what this arena looked like.
Yeah, me too. Me you too.
Know, did they get enough fans for a free game, or is it still, I mean, are you going to hear every single dribble the coach calling out plays?
You know what? They could have made it a promotion like, we're not going to have any fans in the arena. We're going to play in front of an empty gym. Yay! And people go, oh, that's too bad. But yeah, real quick, is it a good problem for Baylor to have? I mean, they've got a good basketball game here. Their team is playing for the Big 12 championship. You give away some free tickets. But in the end, it's a pretty celebratory day for Baylor athletics. Yeah.
No,
it's, right? It's like you're going to get a good basketball game against a nationally ranked team and a good, historically good program in Arizona. And by the way, we're playing Oklahoma for the title of Big 12 champion. It's a day of celebration. So That's awesome, though. Good for Baylor. But that is bad that the schedule couldn't – nothing could happen. So the practice – volleyball practice?
Yeah.
They don't have another place to practice volleyball?
Apparently not.
Like, they couldn't find a high school gym in the Waco area to go, let's just set up there. Hey, high school, how would you like $10,000?
Yeah, this was Baylor basketball tweeted out, unfortunately, we have to clear the arena for NCAA tournament volleyball practices, so the video board is not an option. I mean, how great would it be if you went to the game, you went to the basketball game, and up on their Jumbotron, you could watch the football game.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, it might be a little distracting, but then you just have a big old watch party in the arena.
Exactly.
Baylor should have came up with an idea saying, hey, you know, sorry for this inconvenience, but we're going to put you up in this nice high school gym.
Right. That's totally true. All right. So what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is art.
Art.
I don't get it.
Okay.
Okay.
Each his own.
I'm going to try to find this artist's name for you because I guess it's important. But recently at an exhibit at Art Basel Miami Beach, a banana duct taped to a wall sold for $120,000.
A banana duct taped to a wall sold for how much?
$120,000.
I don't get art at all. I don't get how you do this. I could have done that. I could have solved all of my problems.
Yeah.
Found a piece of fruit and put it up on a poster board.
The artist is Maurizio Catalan.
Is he famous? Is he famous? And so whatever he touches turns to gold, like Midas?
I don't know.
Maybe that's the reason why it's money.
But the art is entitled Comedian. The artwork comprises a banana bought in a Miami grocery store and a single piece of duct tape. And there are three editions of this. So all of them were sold.
So when you see that and go, that speaks to me, exactly what is it saying?
Well, you want to know what it says? The gallery's founder, Emmanuel Perrotin, told CNN, the bananas are a symbol of global trade, double entendre, as well as a classic device for humor.
Of course, right. Because people slip on banana peels, but it also symbolizes global economics.
Now, my favorite part is this, that potential buyers should note there are no clear instructions about what to do if the banana starts to decompose.
That's of course, because you didn't wrap it in wax or you didn't make a fake one. How about that?
I mean, if you replace it, do you devalue the $120,000 you spent on a banana duct tape to a wall?
When you hang it on the wall and the flies come and then it decomposes and then you ask for another one, they go, no, that's the symbol of global trade. It disappears and decays into the breeze.
Yeah.
Yeah, well done.
So, yeah, I mean, it's art. I don't get art.
I don't either. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
I can think of a lot of things to spend $120,000 on.
Yeah.
A banana duct taped to a wall is not one.
The idea is if you buy a Monet for $10 million, it's supposed to stay $10 million, so it's like the $10 million is in it. Or maybe even go up.
It'll go up
a little. If I have a lot of money, if I have a lot of money and I don't want to put it in depreciating assets, I buy a Monet, let's say, and it stays, the value of that stays. It's like buying gold, right? Gold goes up and down, but it's not worth nothing, right? So you end up buying, but in this case, that could be worth zero. It could be worth it could be duct tape around a decaying piece of fruit.
No, it definitely will be. I mean, the duct tape will last.
That will be there forever.
Duct tape will last.
That's no joke. That will stay up there.
But what I mean, the banana, I imagine at some point would decompose to the point where it just falls on the ground.
Yeah, exactly.
The duct tape would be there with an indention of where the banana once was.
Amazing. All righty. That is the good, the bad, the dumb as we close out the week. It is an SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.